Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the Bullseye Podcast, brought to you by AFI Advisors. This is Josh Shores, joined alongside by Brian Brummett.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
I really enjoy emphasizing the T on your last name. I did that last time, and I was like, ooh, I really like that.
You know, growing up with a name, it always seems like everybody should know how to pronounce it, but Brummett is the hardest one for some people.
I can do it. I can do it now, but in the beginning, when I was typing your name, your last name, I always spelled it wrong.
When Lacey changed her name over to Lacey Brummett, she had a hard time with with cursive, the two M's followed by the E and the two T's. Going from a U to two M's is hard.
Yeah, two M's back to back. You'd feel like you're just doing squigglies forever.
You have the lower humps for the U and the upper humps for the M.
Well, it's just the two of us this morning. Peter is out on vacation. He has left us in charge.
And the place is still standing.
Peter, whenever you're hearing this, we have not burned down the building. We've not lost any accounts that we're aware of. And we've been here. So we're doing...
on time.
We're like 3 for 3. What more do you want from us? I did want to share that you picked up a new title, Mr. Treasurer of the Kingsport Kiwanis Club.
Yeah, so that was announced last Friday.
Well, we're announcing it now.
Yeah, we're announcing it now.
Always late to the party. Well, that's really neat, and it's also really neat to get some younger people involved with those clubs, and I know that they're really adamant about wanting to get more people involved.
Yeah, we're wanting a lot more people there. Having, you know, a variety of different ideas coming out would be amazing. Mm-hmm. What we're ultimately trying to do is help children in the area. So the more people get behind that, the better. Right. And the Kiwanis is a great group to do that with.
And I've been with you to several of the meetings and everything, and produced a killer video for them that I've not heard any feedback on. But it's fine. I'm not bitter.
They'd asked me to do a video for them because the lady who usually does it's out. So I immediately just grabbed you and said, hey, you're doing this.
Yeah, and
me.
It was a lot of fun. I was like, well, yeah, I can go do this. I can shoot this video, record it.
We had the YMCA.
That was
lady
right.
from the YMCA talking.
That's right. And I was like, I can get some free food and just, you know. Man, I worked so hard on that video, and I was like, they're going to think I'm a rock star.
Didn't bring it up.
It's just like it didn't even happen. Well, congratulations. That's
Thank
cool.
You.
I could not be a treasurer. I'm just not wired for that. So,
well, it's good to hone those accounting skills. You know, I usually use the finance side of it, so to be able to go through and reconcile things.
Don't they just have a computer that'll do all that stuff?
Yes, but you've got to work with the computer on it, so it's own thing.
Well, we were talking about, you know, thinking through topics today and some things to talk about, and we didn't get any new questions come in this previous week, so I thought this would be a good opportunity to maybe take a lighthearted approach at some interesting money facts.
I love random, weird facts about stuff that, particularly about things that I care about, like money.
Well, so you had sent these over to me, and there were, what, 30-ish, 30?
Are you going to make fun of me? Because
No.
So I sent him a list of 30, and then I narrowed it down to about 25 that I'd like to talk about.
I told myself on the drive up here, the whole way up here, I was like, I'm not going to make fun of Brian today. I was really hard on him last episode. I'm not going to make fun of him today. So I'm going to be very good. I just congratulated you on a new position. Don't make me be mean. But no, I was saying that there were about 30 of them, and we've kind of sat down here and hand-selected, what, like 7?
Yeah, we did. 7 of them.
So these are really interesting, and I'm kind of with you, too. I like really interesting, oddball, quirky kind of things that no one really talks about until, you know, someone like us brings it up here. But the first one, just right off the bat.
We should start strong, right?
Yeah, we're going, we're just diving right in.
So the majority of U.S. bills have traces of drugs on them.
Oh my God.
Fact. That is so scary. I'm a bit of a germaphobe with certain things, and I've always felt kind of weird about money in general.
Anything people touch, steering wheels, cell phones,
because you gotta think though, like how many hands or God knows what has that currency crossed paths with before it reaches your wallet?
And you can't like throw a bill in the wash. I mean, I guess laundering comes from, but
I've washed many a dollar bill. I'm like, dang it.
But apparently there was this chemist back in 2009 at the University of Massachusetts Dartmouth that found that 85 to 95% of paper money in circulation contains trace amounts of cocaine in it.
That's wild. That's so wild.
And if you look at bigger cities, Detroit, Los Angeles, Miami, Boston, these places they found 100% of the currency has it.
Well, it sounds like we have a deeper issue here.
And it's an American issue because, according to this, China and Japan had 20 to 12% of their money had cocaine on it. It's those high rollers in big cities, I guess, that are...
So I'm not going to pretend like I'm some expert drug person because I'm not.
If they didn't talk about it on Breaking Bad or Ozarks, yeah.
I'm assuming that it's from people rolling the bills up and using them as the gateway to snort said
that
cocaine.
Makes so much more sense than what I was thinking. I was thinking they just didn't wash their hands before the drug deal and.
Well, I mean, I guess there's lots of ways, but I think I'm thinking. So it's got my mind, you know, going backwards, rewind, and I'm thinking of all the movies and the shows.
No, that makes sense.
And it's always like $100 bill. Everybody just rolls up this $100
bill. Well, that would be what I would
bill.
Be interested in seeing is of that 85, 95% of paper money in the U.S. that has cocaine on it, is what, it mostly $100
right,
bill?
What
like
currency,
what ratio has the least?
Mm. I feel like if...
It'd be a five. Who would do it with a five? I mean...
Well, I was about to say, and we are, by the way, public service announcement, we are no way supporting drug use. But I think you'd be a little embarrassed to roll up a $1 bill and snort your cocaine with it. Isn't that a little embarrassing that just... It's really interesting because we've kind of connected paths with these first three here. So if you're getting all the drugs and cocaine on your bills, then the life expectancy obviously isn't going to be great. So the second one, what is it? A bill's life expectancy is no longer than 15 years.
15 years.
That's really interesting. I feel like it would be longer.
Yeah, and some of them, like the $1 bill, because you figure you use it a lot more, actually only has about a 5.8-year life expectancy.
Oh, those poor $1 bills.
But the 10s have it the roughest. They have a 4.5-year life expectancy.
Hmm.
Wonder what about 10s makes them?
Do you think maybe there's just not as many in circulation? 10s? Isn't that somewhere in here, too?
I don't know. But no, I have no idea. The 10s just don't last as long. Now, $100 bills, they last an average of 15 years. And that makes sense because if I have a $100 bill in my pocket, which is a really rare thing, if I have a $100 bill in my pocket, I'm going to take care of it. I'm not going to – no one leaves a $100 bill in their pants before they wash it. You know where it is.
Yeah, some people might. I don't. I never have cash of any kind, ever. I am completely card and digital pay.
Same.
And
it saves me a lot when I go downtown.
Yeah.
you know, I'm walking out and someone asks me if they can borrow some money, I'm like, man, I'm a millennial. I just hold my card.
Those darn millennials. Ruining the world. we always get a bad rap. We've talked about this numerous times, but yet again, millennials, terrible people. So, kind of piggybacking off of the life expectancy, 15 years, 4.5 years, 7.9 years, even if it's damaged currency, it can still have value, right?
It can still have value. So if it's not been damaged too badly, don't just throw it away. The Bureau of Engraving and Printing might be willing to fully redeem it for you.
I think
so. If you do have that $100 bill that you nurtured and everything, and it ends up getting ripped a little or something like that, they can do that. And you don't even have to have the full bill. If I go up to them with a $100 bill has part of it missing, and I can prove that the other part's not in circulation anymore,
yeah,
they could still be willing to.
That seems like a lot of work, though.
Well, you figure how many people actually do that?
Yeah.
So it's I don't know. It might not be a lot of work.
Also,
for them.
I think anyone. No, I retract that. I think everyone. There's the word. Has probably at some point in time got the tape out and taped up a bill of some sort.
People should take it. Drink machines don't. I've tried it.
I especially remember during, I think, like college days and stuff. Because it's like you were going to these places, you know, where college kids hang out, and you always get like the rattiest of the bills, it seems, you know, back to you. So you're always like just taping them up and like, oh, it's fine. It's missing a chunk, but it's okay.
It's okay. They'll still You can only use it there, though.
Yeah. Somewhere we'll take it. Just go downtown.
See, in college, I used to give my ratty dollars to – there was this little market over near the business school at ETSU served Einstein Bros.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the – what's the place downtown that you liked?
I used to love Newman's.
Newman's. Newman's will take any currency.
Newman's will take. Well, I loved it. I'd go down there and I would, if you got lunch there, they let you have a free hour of pool. Mm-hmm. So I'd go down there and eat lunch and study and then shoot pool for a little bit. A different place at night.
Yeah. Preach. Yeah.
It's a different place now than it used to be.
I've been to Newman several times, but I didn't really mind it, to be quite honest. I just hated smoking in there.
Yeah. Because so it's one of the only places around here that you can smoke indoors.
Yeah. You just can't. There's no way to leave that place and not smell like just crap.
And the weird thing was, I believe the upstairs part of it was a non-smoking area.
But
the smoke goes up, so it was like it collected up there. It
makes no sense. They really thought that through. Well, anyways, let's get back to some of these fun facts after we're plugging our bars and nightclubs here. Security threads?
Yeah. Apparently the security threads on each bill glows a different color depending on how much the bill's worth.
So I've always been curious about that. No, read the rest of it. This is interesting.
Yeah. Embedded security threads are also used to protect against counterfeiting. If you have a UV light, hold it up to one of your bills to see the thread glow. So the fives, they glow blue.
Mm-hmm.
The $10 bills glow orange. The $20 bills glow green. The $50 bills glow yellow. And the $100 bills glow pink.
What do you think the idea behind them being different colors is? I've been wondering that. Like what?
I'm not 100% sure. I would imagine it's just that extra level of protection.
Yeah.
Just if you can make it different. You know, if you look at the dollar bill, there's like a little owl that's posted in one little place of it that mm-hmm. a counterfeiter may not know.
Yeah.
So just doing extra things to make counterfeiting it more difficult.
I remember... There was a time period, and this has been several years ago, and I don't remember what was going on, like in the world at the time, but something was going on. And there was just this big scare for counterfeit money. And this is right around the time they started checking, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, but it was such an awkward transaction because every time I would hand someone, you know, money, they'd like inspect it and they'd hold it up and all this stuff.
Well, they had those yellow pins too that you could mark on.
Yeah, and they would mark it. Right. And I was always thinking, it's not counterfeit. What are you doing? And then I start to panic. I'm like, oh my God, what if it is counterfeit? And then I'm the one giving it to them. Clearly, I'm not intelligent enough to counterfeit money. That's not mine. I'm never going to be that guy. But then I start panicking, thinking, well, what if it is counterfeit? What am I going to do? And I just, that vividly sticks in my head.
I don't know. Like we were talking about earlier, I don't carry enough cash for it to be a huge issue for me.
Yeah.
But that would be an interesting thing to research later.
Do they even,
what happens if I give somebody counterfeit money that was given to me in an exchange earlier?
Yeah. That's scary.
That is scary.
I don't know what the...
I would imagine that if it happens, they wouldn't take you down. They'd just go to your house and be like, hey, this guy's not making counterfeit money.
This guy's clearly not making counterfeit money.
Now, I wonder if counterfeit money has trace amounts of cocaine on it.
Mm. Now we're talking.
Or if it lasts longer than 15 years.
I don't know. If anyone's listening who has a background in counterfeit money.
Or FBI people listening to this, please reach out.
Please give us a call. We have some questions. What's next?
U.S. bills are printed only in two places around the world, Washington, D.C., and Fort Worth, Texas.
Texas.
So the Texas one was opened in 1990 and helped serve the western United States. And it's kind of as a backup, too, so if something happens to the Washington side.
Because I always thought, I wasn't aware of the Texas one. I knew about the D.C. one, but I was not aware of the Texas one. But I guess that makes sense. It probably makes sense to have a backup just in case. Didn't someone, or is this a movie? Full disclosure, I'm getting to the age now where a lot of my memories between movies and real life sometimes merge. And I don't know, I can't remember which is real and which was a movie.
So since you just watched Top Gun, you know he is not actually a pilot, right?
Right. But what did someone steal one of the the old printing press things for the currency? Is that a movie?
I don't know that one.
Or did that really happen?
I don't know that one.
I'll have to give that a Google later.
What's your favorite bank robbing movie?
Bank robbing movie. Oh gosh.
One where they hid in the wall.
Hid in the wall?
Yeah, I'm going to have to find that one.
It would be one of two for me. I really like the Ocean's 11. 12,
yeah,
13
really
movies. I think those are like the...
The Italian Job's good.
Yeah, Italian Job's good.
If you can make Mini Coopers seem cool, you're doing it right.
You got it. But the Ocean's movies were always really fun for me.
Yeah.
Because there was so much, you know, strategery and logistical...
And good acting, too. Yeah, they were top-notch actors.
So that would probably be my favorite, robbing movie. Also Bonnie and Clyde.
I know of it, but I've not seen it.
That one's pretty wild. They were just old school though. There's not much strategy there. They just walk right in with their big Tommy gun, give me your money and then get out of there. But so we talked about that the bills are only printed in two places in the world. What about coins?
So they're they're minted in a variety of places. You've got Philadelphia, Denver, San Francisco,
New
York, Knox County, Kentucky. But so they're printed at quite a few more places, and that's probably because there's different types of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure, but it might be one of those situations where Philadelphia makes nickels and dimes, and one of them makes pennies. Or they could all make all of them. But
I think it would probably make more sense for each facility to make a certain one because of
just
you
to
know,
mass produce.
Yeah, to mass produce it, and you know, bulk materials and things like this. And I'm sure that they have, you know, different stamps that they have to put in the machines to make every. I'm sure they're probably only doing one at each facility. I could be wrong about that. If there are any coin collectors,
come correct.
And come correct us.
And then they do those special coins too, the ones that they only do every now and then. Like they used to put the states on the back of them.
Those are always so weird to me.
They're weird. And then they come up with some, like the commemorative ones, mm-hmm. which a lot of them, they actually, the money that they get from selling those actually goes to like museums and.
Right. Which is totally cool. Yeah, totally cool. But it's just, I have a bad taste in my mouth for. They're always on like these terrible infomercials and you could own this gold coin with a buffalo on it for only 4 payments of $38.99 or something like that.
My dad's work used to give him Susan B. Anthony coins from time to time. And those were always so cool because they're not even circular. They're like octagons.
Where do you even get those? Like how do you – are those collectible?
I have no idea now. I have some. And I also have some $2 bills from where Don used to give them out here. That was great. Being able to hand them to people when you're just doing like a normal purchase and stuff always throws them off.
Yeah, they're especially younger people. They're really confused. I remember when I was young, I had grandparents and things like that give me $2 bills and I thought it was just like the coolest thing ever.
Absolutely.
I was like, these are worth millions of dollars. And nope.
I could change all those bills I have in my wallet to just one $2 bill now.
Just one $2 bill. Well, do we have any more of these?
I think we have one more that we set aside.
One more? Oh, that's the one that you have that I don't have.
Yeah. So 2/3 of all U.S. currency is held abroad. So
that's wild.
Yeah. So it's between half and 2/3.
Yeah.
But, you know, you figure a lot of other countries use the U.S. currency as their currency, too.
Mm-hmm.
So Ecuador, Guam.
Yeah.
Places like that.
But that's a lot. That's a big chunk if you think about how big the United States is as a whole. Legal money?
Yeah. Yeah. So this study was done by the Bureau of Engraving and Printing.
That sounds very official.
Back in 2019. Because we were looking for lists of these online.
Yeah.
And the majority of them were not factual at all.
Yeah.
One of them said that there's only two non-presidents that have been on U.S. currency, Ben Franklin and Andrew Jackson. Just look at it a minute. I'm like, wait a minute. That I'm going to discard this whole site. Like, nothing on here is...
Andrew Jackson was the
seventh
president. Man, it's been a long time since I've had to recite my presidents.
I don't know if I was ever able to.
We had to do that at some point, you know, during school.
He was the seventh.
Yes.
Thank you, Google.
Cha-ching. Well, that's really interesting. I think stuff like that is kind of shocking. Like the whole trace of drugs. That's uncomfortable to me.
It really is.
And I also think back to like when we had, you know, like the big anthrax scare.
Uh-huh.
I guess things being on things that we would handle every day. It's really scary.
Like I said, anything that people touch on a daily basis tends to show up with a ton of bacteria.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I doubt if you check people's phones that many would show up with trace amounts of cocaine on it, but steering wheels have a bunch of bacteria on it. Anything you touch normally.
This is a good time for everyone to explore.
Washing your hands.
Washing your hands for 30 seconds. Do you ever wash your hands for 30 seconds? Be honest.
I don't count.
It's not 30
it's
seconds.
It's probably
though.
Not full 30 seconds.
Because every time I'm in somewhere, I'm reading the sign. I said, wash your hands for 30 seconds. I'm like, man, that's a long time. I'm already washing them. What more do you want from me? I don't think anybody washes their hands for 30 seconds unless...
Because it takes minutes off of your day.
It does, literally. Unless your hands are like covered in stuff, right? If you're just normal ho-hum washing your hands after using the bathroom, I don't think anyone washes their hands for 30 seconds. And I will stand firm in that.
I don't have anything to add to that.
Can I get an amen? So, well, Brian, this was fun.
No, it was fun.
Know this is one of our least educational podcasts.
It is.
But
one of the things I'd enjoy doing is maybe you, me, and Peter try to find a good weird story that has to do with finance and actually know stuff about it. Mm-hmm. Come in here and see who can come up with a weirder.
Oh.
I think that'd be fun.
Oh. That sounds like a challenge.
It is a challenge.
Challenge accepted. So we'll get to work on that, but we appreciate everyone sticking with us, and I hope that you found some of these facts interesting, and I hope it was funny and kind of lighthearted. But again, this is the Bullseye Podcast brought to you by AFI Advisors. Be sure to check out our website, AFIAdvisors.com. Look us up on all of our social channels. And if you have questions that you'd like to address on the podcast, feel free to email us at connect@AFIAdvisors.com. So we are wrapping up here. Brian, thanks again. Also, thanks everyone for listening, and we will catch you next week. Have a good day.